Hey, this is Alex with the Unbiased Trailblazer podcast. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Unbiased Blazers. There's a link in our bio for our Discord server where you can join in on the discussions, give us your takes, give us comments, or simply just join in on a podcast. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please rate and review our show. And if you're listening on Spotify, there's a new feature where you can rate our show as well. Now, let's get to the show. Rip City, baby.
3, 2, 1, 0, 0.
Lift off and the clock has started.
Rip City, what is going on? This is episode 49, I believe. We're almost to the big 50. This is 49. I'm joined here by my good friend Fouad. He has come back from his vacation. Fouad, how was Italy?
Italy was really nice. I was happy to have a break after such a long time, and I got to see a lot of really cool places. So, I did miss the draft, unfortunately, but I think it was worth it overall.
Yeah, you picked a great time to go, didn't you? Right when all the craziness was happening.
It was the only time my family is free, so I didn't really have a choice.
Yeah, it was. I think you didn't even know about the Jeremy Grant trade, right? It happened.
It might have been while I was like out and I didn't have Wi-Fi. I don't remember.
That's funny. Something we've been talking about all year, and then the one time it happens, you're not even there to see it happen.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting it at all because I was like, if it happens, it'll be during the draft, and it happened a day before. So,
yeah. So let's talk about this since you weren't here for the podcast where we reacted to it. What was your thoughts, feelings? You know, how did you react when you heard it? Just go free.
Okay, so I think that so my initial reaction was anything too crazy because I did expect that there was a very good chance that this trade was going to happen. Like I said, I thought it was going to be the next day. So overall, like, I wasn't too surprised that we got him. I thought the amount we paid, I thought that was fair too. I didn't think we fleeced them like a lot of people did on, on our Discord, on Twitter, on Reddit. A lot of people were saying we fleeced the Pistons. I didn't think it was that that much because some of the seconds we sent them, I think it was 3 or maybe it was 2 in a swap. I think we swapped this year's and then 2 future ones. Some of those were really good, so I think those could be like in the 30s, which always, you know, you can get 1 or 2 starter quality players in the 30s. But I didn't think it was as much of a fleece as some people thought. That was a win-win. But I was happy we got him. Whether he's our 4 or our 3, he'll most likely be our 4, but I think he'll be a good starter. I think he fits us really well. So I'm excited to see him play play with us next year. And then my other thought was, so if you factor it in back into the CJ trade, I think it makes that one look a lot better. I thought that one was okay anyways. I didn't hate it as much as some people, but I think if you look at it like CJ and Nance for Hart and Grant, I think that looks a lot more fair, even though I still sorely miss Larry Nance because I think he fits our team so well. But I think if you look at it that way, I think it's a lot better. And, you know, we got a couple seconds in that deal too, which, it's always a good throw in for some trades. So I think if you look at it back as part of the CJ trade, I think it looks a lot better. And then obviously, like, standing alone, we got good value for what we gave up, only the Bucks pick and a couple of seconds. And some people were talking about trading the 7th pick for him, so I was really happy that didn't happen. I didn't think it was going to happen anyways, but it was good to see that it didn't happen. And then it also meant that John Collins is probably not going to happen. So I thought that was interesting because, the rumor mill was kind of heating up for that as well. And I thought, if we had the choice for a similar price, I felt like we probably should have gone for Collins. But I was equally happy with both. I talked about it on Trailcasters as well. I view them pretty similarly as players. My only like preference was who had a lower price. So if that was Grant, I think that might have been why we went for him. So I was happy. I was happy about that. Just overall, very very satisfied with the trade. I didn't think it was like mind blowing because you know we had been talking about it for like a year on this podcast, and so it wasn't anything surprising for me. I was just happy with it. It was a good move.
Yeah, and you mentioned what I said in the last podcast. When you factor in that trade that we made with CJ, we already kind of talked about it not being a terrible trade. We got pretty decent value for it. Mm-hmm. But when you factor in getting Grant plus Hart for CJ, that makes it a good trade. That made it a win for us, I think. I think we definitely for sure came out on the better end of that trade now that we have both of those players.
Yeah.
And it sounds like we're keeping Hart now because we guaranteed his contract. Mm-hmm. Didn't make those moves like you mentioned for Collins or OG. So it sounds like this is kind of the team we're going to be running with, maybe just a couple different additions, and that's about it.
Yeah, OG was another thing, actually. Before the trade happened, I always thought it was a long shot that we would get him, but, you know, the fan in you always thinks, like, okay, like, what if it happens? So that was part of my reaction as well, why I didn't, like, lose my mind when I saw the trade, because it meant that we're not getting OG. So, you know, again, Jeremy Grant is, I'm very happy with the trade. It just wasn't anything mind-blowing like OG would have been.
I agree, and I think it really is something that Dame wanted. I think Dame had been on the Grant train for a while, and mm-hmm. if that's what Dame wants at this point, I'm good with whatever he wants. So
yeah, apparently they got close during the Olympics. They were both on the team.
Yeah. So let's move to the big news of the week. The NBA draft happened.
Yeah.
Like you had already mentioned, you kind of missed it. Before we go into it, well, actually, let's go into it a little bit. I just remembered. I was going to tell you a funny story about Jeremy Grant. So I've been streaming lately, playing video games with, I've actually been playing with the Trailcasters with Keith and Chris a lot. And I was streaming, and I don't know who it was. So if you're listening right now, come into Discord if you're not already. I have to imagine you are, because that's how you probably heard about it. Someone was in there talking with me about Jeremy Grant, and it was so funny. It was like pretty recent after the trade happened. It was so funny listening to them like lose their mind, like they were surprised that it happened. And I don't know who it was. The name didn't sound familiar. I can't even remember what the name was. So if that was you and you're listening right now, please, please message me on Discord, Twitter, whatever, and just let me know, because it was so funny talking to you, and like, it seemed like it was just like we'd got Michael Jordan talking with you about it. So it was just funny. I wanted to bring that up. But anyways, back to what we were going to talk about. NBA draft happened. For those of you who don't know, we did not trade our pick. We used it on a player that, as time has gone on, I've grown more okay with the idea of it. Still not the biggest fan, but honestly, at the point we were in the draft, I don't know what other moves we really could have made. So before we go any farther into it, thankfully Brady from the 0.9 podcast recorded the draft, or recorded our audio from the watch party that we were holding. So Brady, shout out to you. Thank you for recording this. I'm going to play it real quick.
2022 NBA draft. The Portland Trailblazers select Shaden Sharpe.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
So
freaking
dumb. Can we trade it? Trade the pick.
Guys, what if he's better than Mathurin, though?
Bro, we got another guard.
So, as you heard, we drafted Shaden Sharpe with the 7th pick. Like I said, there wasn't much tape on him. I tried looking things up online to try to find, like, statistics from him in high school. There really wasn't much. It honestly didn't sound like he played very much in high school either. He just was like, when he did play, he was a very good, very good player. So the one thing I could find was that I think it was his junior year. It might have been his senior. I couldn't tell. It didn't really specify where it was. But it said he averaged 21 points a game in the 13 games he played. So we already know he can from unofficial reports, jump out of the gym at 49 inches. I mean, that's insane. That's a record. Mm-hmm. We know he's a pretty good shooter. He seems to be, how do I want to put this? An athletic freak from the, you know, the highlights we've seen since we drafted him of him East Bay dunking and, you know, the highlights of him just doing windmill dunks and alley-oops during games. So what was your reaction or what was your reaction when we drafted him to what it is now?
Yeah, so Sharp is where I have a lot more thoughts than Jeremy Grant because, you know, again, we covered Jeremy Grant so many times. Sharp was, I was so conflicted like the entire time. You know, the reports leading up to the draft were saying that we're settling more and more on Sharp. And I was like, oh, no, there's no way we would pick him. It's probably just whoever we're trading the pick to, like they probably want Sharp. And I was just like, there's no footage on Sharp at all. He hasn't played in college. He hasn't played in the G League or anything. There's like, he's just such a risk, such a wild card. And I'm, you know, pretty risk averse. So I didn't want to take him at all for that reason. I was like, I don't, you know, he might be good, but I don't want to be the one to take that risk. So I was like heavily against taking him. I think I wanted Dyson Daniels as my number one and then Mathurin as two. I think Mathurin went at 5 or 6, but Dyson Daniels was still on the table or on the board when we were picking, so I wanted him. But we picked Sharp, and I was like, okay, you know, I was whelmed. The few days after that, that's when I started getting really high on the pick. You know, at the time, I was like, okay, it's not the best. Maybe we can still trade it. He's a guard. I was like, I don't know if we have room for another guard, all this other stuff. But after having some time to think about it, I was, you know, I'm really excited for this pick. I love it for a couple different reasons. I think, you know, one, there isn't a lot of footage, but that's for us. For the team, they have scouts. They have, we talk to other people who have seen him play. They've seen the workouts, even though the workouts aren't always the best, depending on what they do. But Sharp's workout did have other players, unlike most of the other workouts we did, which is solo, which, you know, doesn't show as much. Sharp got to play with other people, so we got to see more, or not we, but, you know, Joe Cronin, all our coaches, Dame, they got to see Sharp play with other people, other players. And, you know, Sohan, who's a great defender, was part of that workout. So he was being guarded by a really good defensive player. So if he showed out in those workouts, that's, you know, that's a good sign. That might have been something that the team saw and why they wanted to draft him. And then we also have Mike Schmitz as our assistant coach now, I think. That's his official role. And, you know,
the assistant GM.
Assistant GM, that's what it was, sorry. And, you know, he scouted Sharp, like, heavily, and he was really high on him. So I think I trust, and Joe Cronin was our scout for a few years as well. So between him, Schmitz, and, you know, the workouts and whatever we've done, I think that if the team liked Sharp enough to take him at 7, I think I trust them way more than I trust myself. And then we all know that Sharp's upside, you know, is there. It's just about whether he will reach it. So I think if we draft him, I think that means that, you know, the team, the scouts, the GM, they all think that it's likely that he'll reach that ceiling. And Chauncey and the rest of our coaching staff will help develop him. So that's something I'm really excited for. I think that, you know, his ceiling is really high, and even if he doesn't contribute immediately like some other players might have, in a year, 2, 3, I think he'll be really special, and, you know, maybe even better than any of the young guys we've had since Dame, or maybe since CJ. Like, I think he could be that good. So I'm really excited to see him play both in Summer League in about a week and also throughout the season and throughout his career. I think he could be really special. But I'll still be, you know, watching Dyson Daniels' game sometimes to see if he was actually as good as I thought he would be, or if we dodged a bullet by not picking him.
Yeah, I mean, once Murray got taken by the Kings, and then I think Mathurin went, I think he went 5. He had, I think he went 5. No, wait a minute. 5 was Detroit. Ivy went 5, yeah. Yeah, you're right. So Mathurin went right before us. At that point, I actually agreed with you. At that point, I would have taken Daniels. And I was upset, as you heard in the audio a little bit. I was not the most happy, as well as other people were. But as time's gone on, as I've sat and thought about it more, it's kind of like what they're saying. You're swinging for the fence with him. And we've complained so much about being kind of like the just steady, let's just make the minimum move to kind of be consistent. Like, this is what you have to do. You have to swing for it. And if it hits, it hits. And from everything that everyone said, he's got all the intangibles you would need for it to hit. And if Dame, like we said a little bit earlier, if Dame approves of it, which it sounds like Dame was pretty excited to get him, then I've got no issue. And like you said, Cronin, he was part of the draft process for pretty much every player we've picked so far. Like, I believe he was there when we picked Dame. So he's just as good of a talent, you know, spotting talent and seeing what, you know, what could be there, that I'm comfortable with it. I am too going to be watching Daniels. I'm going to be watching Durin. And honestly, this is going to be the first time where I've actually watched summer league basketball, like, really, like, intensely, like, wanting to see, because we really don't know anything about him. So it's like, this is our first opportunity to see what he has. And hopefully we see. I would hate for him to go out there, like, first game and, like, pull a muscle or something because he's so excited to finally be playing again. And it's like, then we don't even get to see him anyways. But he's 6'6". He's got a long wingspan. I don't quote me. I could be wrong, but I thought they said it was 7 foot, but I could be wrong. Yeah, I mean, he's an athletic freak. I think he's a good shooter. Yeah. I'm excited to see what happens.
His wingspan was what, like 6'11", maybe? Something like that?
Was it? Okay. I knew it was close. I thought they said it was 7. Yeah. So let me ask you a question about Sharp. Where does he fit in the roster right now? We have Hart, we have Simons, we have Sharp, we have Nas. What are you expecting?
I don't even know, honestly. I was looking at it. I don't remember. It might have been earlier today. It might have been last night. It's, you know, our guard minutes, especially off the bench, they're kind of tight. We have, you know, Ant is going to start at the two, but he'll play some backup one as well. So then, you know, that between Dame and Ant, there's not going to be any point guard minutes left. And you have the shooting guard minutes, which are going to be filled, you know, partly by Hart, partly by Nas. And now you have Sharp in that mix as well. And then all of those guys, maybe not Sharp, or, you know, maybe him too. But Hart and Nas are also going to play some three. And, you know, that's filling up a lot of space. If we get someone with the MLE that can play the three, that's also, you know, eating up a lot of the minutes. So it's going to be kind of hard, I think. He'll probably end up not playing a ton. You know, if Chauncey's anything like Terry Stotts, and he doesn't like playing young guys that much, I see him playing maybe 10 to 15 minutes a game. While Nas will get like 25 and Ant will get like 30. I don't know right off the top of my head if that fits, but I think something like that will probably work minutes wise. Otherwise, I think, you know, maybe, I don't think this will happen, but I think maybe if we traded one of, or actually only Nas, for a bigger three or a four, and then that would open up a lot more minutes at the two for Sharp, for Ant as well. And then maybe if we get someone else, you know, sign someone else off the bench. But anyways, yeah, to sum it up, I think that he probably won't play too much unless he really shows out as being like NBA ready right off the bat, and he's really special. Then I think we might have to, you know, open up some more minutes for him somehow, whether that is a trade or just limiting someone else's minutes. But I think right now I expect him to play, you know, I think he'll be in the rotation. I don't think it's that he won't play at all. I think probably in that 15, you know, 12 to 15 minute range.
Yeah. So there's one thing I wanted to add about Sharp. And it was something that I had said previously about not having tape and him not playing against college, you know, players, and, you know, high school isn't always the most competitive. Something that I failed to think about is
before the rule that they had to at least play 1 year of college, or, you know, be 1 year out. Players came from college or from high school all the time and transitioned just fine. So after I thought more about that, I felt like it was kind of not as fair of an argument to use against him, because it sounds like pretty soon we're going to be going back to players coming out of high school again, and then that's going to be the normal. So I didn't want to hold that against him as much as I was at first. But one thing I did want to add to what you said, I mostly agree with you on your where you think the minutes are going to be spread out. One thing I, for me at least, I don't think we're going to see Nos play the two at all. I think he'll be strictly three. Maybe a little four. I just think if you have Ant playing point guard, you're going to have Josh Hart or Sharp at the two always. If Ant's at the one, it's going to be one of those two at the two. So I just don't ever see, unless, you know, foul trouble or something, I just don't ever see Nos going into the two. But it could happen. I guess if Sharp doesn't develop well enough right off the bat, maybe it is Hart at the three and Nos at the two. I mean, anything could happen. But for me, at least, that's how I see it. I think Sharp will pretty much just be a two, maybe a three sometimes. And it'll mostly just be Hart and Sharp and Simons at the shooting guard.
I think that's fair. I think he definitely is more of a three, Nas. I just feel like if there isn't enough minutes at the three, I feel like he'll play two more than four. Even though
I agree.
He played four more than two, but I don't know. It depends on the rest of the roster as well.
Yeah, and I was going to say, it really does depend on what we do in, you know, free agency with what little room we have. It really does depend on what we do. So let's segue into that. Free agency's coming up.
Yep.
I think, when is it? Pretty soon.
Today's the 28th. Oh, the 30th, yeah.
The 30th. Okay, that's what I thought. Okay. So I think, do you have targets that you're looking at?
Okay, before getting into my targets, I just wanted to quickly look at what, like, our, you know, options are. We have the MLE, which is the mid-level exception. We likely will not be in the tax, so we should have the full amount, which is, I think, $10.3 million. We also have, again, if we stay out of the tax, we have the biannual exception, which is probably going to be around $3 or $4 million. So those are our two main options. Then obviously we have Vetmans, and if we make any trades, which I don't know how likely that is. So with those, I haven't looked into them too much. I just glanced at, like, the free agent list a couple days ago. So some people, okay, and then the other thing, before I say the names, because again, my names are very, like, preliminary, I haven't given too much thought into them. I think the positions that we need the most is obviously a three or a four. I think that's what we should spend our MLE on. And then I also think we need a backup center, ideally one who can play the four as well. But, you know, just the backup center could be enough. And then also I want another guard just in case, you know, someone gets injured, like not a backup one that I expect to be in the rotation, but a third one for injury insurance, basically. So I think for one, for that guard, I'll just start off with that right away. I really liked Rubio until I heard the report, like, yesterday, or maybe it was today again, that Cleveland's interested in bringing him back, which, if that's the case, then I think he'll probably go there because he was a really good fit. But I think if he doesn't go to Cleveland, I think he could be really good for us. He's a great playmaker. His shot is okay, but I think he just really improves. He makes everyone around him better. So I think if we got him and he ended up playing, he would help our team a lot. But then the two main things that we need, the center and then the starting small forward. I think Kyle Anderson is someone who I'd really want to go after. I don't know if that's enough, $10.3 million. With the raises, you could probably get that to an average of, like, maybe 12, maybe a little bit less. I'm not sure. But if he goes for, like, a 4-year, $48 million or something like that, Kyle Anderson would be my number one target. I don't know if he'll go for that. I feel like some team might throw him, like, $16-17 million rather than 12. I don't know the market for him, but he's someone I'm really interested in. And I think it was Randy in our Discord, shout out Randy, he mentioned TJ Warren, and I like him a lot too. My concerns are, you know, he hasn't played pretty much in 2 years, so that's why I'm a little bit hesitant. But if, you know, if we trusted that he was healthy like he was before his injury, then I think he'd be another good target with our MLE for our starting small forward position. Yeah, those were the two main guys that I had looked at for our forward, and then for our backup center. I think if Ibaka is available, he could be really good for us. And I also saw, I don't know if it was a report or just someone saying they wanted him, but Boogie, if he was willing to sign for the MLE or the biannual exception, I think getting him could, you know, could be good too. Ideally, we want someone who's more focused on defense, but I think just overall, he's still really talented even after all these injuries. So even though he's not the best defender, I think he would still be a good pickup if we got him. And then the final guy, which kind of just got ruled out less than an hour ago, was that I wanted to trade for Nerlens Noel. I think he's a great defender and he would be really good for our team for like 10-15 minutes off the bench. But Detroit just traded for him and it seems like they're keeping him. So that might be off the table now.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what Detroit does because they have a ton of big men now. And I have a feeling someone's got to go. So maybe that's something we look into.
Yeah, if not now, then maybe at the deadline, if we could grab Noel, I think that would be really helpful.
Because they have Stewart, they have Duran. Why am I forgetting? Now they have Noel.
They have.
Didn't they trade for? Sacramento.
Kenny said they have Bagley as well, which I completely forgot
about. Bagley, yes, thank you. Yeah, so I mean, maybe Bagley's the odd man out. I mean, he's not the greatest choice, but it's. For a backup, it's not terrible. I wouldn't be like extremely excited, but it's not horrible. One question I wanted to ask you. Obviously, you know, Portland fans are very biased to their, you know, former players. Drew Eubanks, how do you feel on him coming back?
I think he was really good for us from what I remember for the, you know, those like 20, 30 games, not even 30, like 20 games. But, you know, at the same time, I also don't know if that will translate when, like, we're actually competitive. Because he looked good relative to the rest of our team, who, you know, pretty much all sucked. And I think near the end of the season, we weren't playing a lot of good teams either. So I thought he did play well. I would be a little bit hesitant because I don't know if that's, like, translatable. But if we got him, I wouldn't be upset at all. I do want him back. I don't know if I want him to be in the rotation. I think if he's our third big, that's for injury insurance. I think that's what I want him for.
Yeah, I think his stats were a little inflated due to our roster itself being pretty much just everyone go out and, you know, do what you can. Also playing not the, you know, the most competitive teams towards the end of the season. But like you said, I agree. If we do decide to try to re-sign him, I think he's perfect for, you know, a backup to the backup, you know, in case an injury happens, you have him there still. Yeah. I know, like I said, I know fans get really attached to players and, you know, they see him have a couple good games and just think automatically like he's such a great player for us. We have to be realistic. I think he played good enough to earn a contract somewhere for some team. Cause at one point he wasn't even on a team. We got him for nothing. So, I think it would be worth getting him, but like you said, I wouldn't expect anything from him.
Yeah, I think if we get him, it's a solid pickup, but some other team might grab him that will actually play him. That could be something to look out for as well, you know. He won't get more than a minimum from us. Maybe some team offers.
I don't think he'll get more than a minimum from anywhere, but who knows. Neil O'Shea's out there somewhere. I'm sure he could probably sign him for $12 million a year. One thing I wanted to address before we wrap this up. The crazy rumors that Kevin Durant is on the move and that Kevin Durant is considering coming to Portland. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm just going to put it this way. It's not happening. So if you're listening to this and you are one of those believers that see the rumor that he might come here, I'm telling you right now, I would be willing to put my house on it that he is not coming here. There's just, For one, just simple, he has stated multiple times, we blew our chance to get him when we didn't draft him, and he doesn't want to come here. So whether he means that or not, and then secondly, Brooklyn is going to be looking for very good assets. We have good assets. There's going to be teams with better assets that would offer for him. And I don't want us to blow our entire team up for one player. So if you're trading Simons and Hart and Nos and a bunch of first round picks to get him, sure, you got Kevin Durant, but now your whole roster is gone and you have nothing besides Dame and Kevin Durant. So I don't know how you feel about Kevin Durant coming here, but to me, it ain't happening.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't happening even when Nurk and Dame posted that. But after yesterday when Kyrie picked up his player option, now it's like, now it's, there's no chance of him going anywhere. Before it was just like, there's a small chance he might leave, but going to us is nothing. Now he's not going anywhere. So, you know, save your Photoshops for next year when he, when Kyrie's gone, and then maybe something happens. But even then, it'll be pretty unlikely unless someone on our team shows a lot of potential, like one of the young guys. But yeah, right now, like, get that out of your head. That's not even on the table.
Totally agree. And then one last quick little thing. Rumor coming out from, I think it was Blazers Edge, Simons is probably somewhere around $20 million a year, 4 years. Let's be honest, that's kind of what I expected. I think that's what you expected. A lot of people are saying it's an overpay. That's the market for young, upcoming guards. $20 million is not crazy. I mean, for what he has provided us and what he can provide us, I think that's pretty fair. So, do you have anything you want to add on that?
I actually do think it's a little bit of an overpay. If it was up to me, I pay him in the 16 to 18 range.
Oh, I'd love to keep him there, yeah.
20 isn't a lot more, so if he signs for 20, I'm not upset at all. And like you said, like most players with his talent level and at his age go for around that same price. I just feel like even though they do normally go for that price, teams end up regretting it like halfway through. Half the time, sometimes they end up overperforming. But that's why I would like to have him at like 16, so even if he stays the same and doesn't improve at all, he's still worth it. But if we pay him for 20, then we're paying for what he'll become in a year or two. And, you know, it's still fine. I wouldn't necessarily call it an overpay because we're paying for what we expect him to be rather than what he is right now, which is, you know, fair. Yeah. It's common practice. But if we can get him for 18, well, I'll be much happier. 20, I'm still okay.
And if you compare to what it sounds like Jalen Brunson's about to go for.
Yeah, that is
4 years for 120. I 4 years for 80, 90 million, whatever it ends up being, to me is still a pretty fair deal. And then one other thing I wanted to add is I believe it was Randy in Discord, so shout out to Randy twice. I think he kind of put it in perspective. It's not going to be $20 million every year. It's going to be like $17 the first year, and it kind of gradually increases, which is true. Doesn't make... I mean, it's still going to be $80 million over 4 years, but either way, I think it's a fair... Would I like it to be a little bit cheaper? Yes, and maybe it still is, but...
Yeah, and even... it's not just his contract that's going to increase every year. It's also the salary cap, so... You know,
true.
Right now, true. If he gets, let's say, like 18 mil on a 120 mil salary cap, 2 years down the line when he's making like 22, it's not like he's still making 122 at the same salary cap. That would have gone up as well. So,
yep, that's a great point.
It's, you know, even if it, honestly, like worst case, even if it was a little bit higher, like 24, if we got into a bidding war with someone else, it'll even out by. You know, the cap when it keeps increasing, it'll even out the contract. It won't be the worst case.
I totally agree, and that's a great point. I think that's where we'll wrap it up for tonight. Everybody that was listening, appreciate you listening. If you haven't joined the Discord, if you haven't joined the Discord, join it. Lots of conversations going on. I almost learn something new every day, so. What was that?
A lot more conversations to come in the next few days, too, once free agency starts.
Yes, very, very true. Other than that, If you haven't, I'm going to shamelessly plug myself for a second. Like I said a little bit earlier, I've been streaming a lot more. So if you are into watching games be played poorly, come watch me play. Just check me on Discord, Twitter, wherever. We'll get it going. And other than that, Fawad, I'm glad you're back safe. Your trip went good. We're getting ready for the free agency. And then Summer League, I don't have the date, so I don't even want to throw out a date. But I know that's coming. It's what? July 10th? 7th. July 7th. So that's coming up soon. So we're going to have a lot more to talk about here pretty soon. Other than that, I hope everyone that's listening has a good night. And as always, Rip City, baby.